Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP professional, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. You can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org or on the WDIY app, as well as many streaming services. Today is September 10th, 2025. The markets were mixed today with the Dow closing down at 45,490, the NASDAQ up at 21,886, and the S&P up at a record high of 6,532. Tonight, this and that, little ways to save toward your goals. So we're going to talk about goal setting and just some, you know, maybe what might be common sense, but also just good reminders of ways to identify your goals and reach your goals. We are live tonight. We'll take your questions. Cindy is in the studio with us this evening. We'll answer your calls, take your information, and ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic and I'll do my best to answer them. The number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air with me, or if you're not comfortable talking live, just give your question to Cindy and she'll write it down and bring it into the studio. You can also submit questions through email at yourfinancialchoices.com. And I'm pretty good about responding to those emails as well, so yourfinancialchoices.com. Show ideas can also be submitted there too. So let's talk about what I mean, this and that, little ways to save towards your goals. First, I think it would be important to know your goals. So it's a mindset. You want to think this through, revisit them. And I'm going to talk about, you know, some, you know, questions to ask yourself about those goals in a minute. But know your goals, revisit them, because if you just kind of say retire at age, you know, 65, that might not be enough to help you reach your goals or to be focused. For people who have worked in corporate America, you may have heard of the term SMART goals. SMART goals, I think, is really kind of a neat, acronym for how identifying how to define these goals. And so I want to go over that and then talk about other questions to ask yourself. So SMART goals, again, often used in business, but it could be applicable anywhere. They're specific and clearly defined. They're measurable with criteria to measure for progress. They're achievable. And is your goal attainable? Realistic and relevant. Do you want to align the goal to a broader objective? And time-bound, set a deadline for completion. So first, let's talk about the S of SMART. Specific. The specific goal, you want to know the who, the what, the where, the when, and the why. What is your goal? Who is involved with that goal? Where is that goal? When are you, you know, when is going to be part of the time as well. But the who, what, where, when, and why to identify what the specific goal is. The M is measurable. How many of what? How much of what? How do I measure my progress on this? For example, you know, when someone thinks about going to college, that their progress is, you know, freshman year, sophomore, junior, senior, that could be part of the progress. I'm going to go to college and I'm going to graduate in 4 years. That could be, you know, a measurable goal. It's a specific goal, but part of the specifics with the who, what, where, when, and why might be, where am I going to go to college? What college? What degree? when am I going to do it? Why am I doing it? Am I doing it just because everybody goes to college, or am I doing it because there is this certain goal I want to achieve, certain course of study I want to, explore? All right. So specific, measurable, achievable. Do you have the resources? Do you have the temperament? Do you have the skills? Do you have the commitment to achieve these goals within this desired timeline? And I like to add for that achievable part, what are the options available to you to achieve these goals? Meaning, for example, if someone says, I'll go back to the college example. If someone says, I want to get a college degree, it could be a specific goal, meaning I want to get a college degree, I want to go to this college in this town, and I want to get a bachelor's in this course of study. That could be specific, that could be measurable. But then when we go to look at achievable, we might say, well, who's going to pay for that? Am I going to be able to get loans? How am I going to do it? Well, when we talk about achievable, it also gives us some flexibility in how we achieve it. Now, if we're someone who doesn't run very well, we can't say our goal is to win the Olympics in the 50-yard dash or something if we just know, even as hard as we might train, which some people could train and do it, but maybe we just don't have that ability. You have to be careful of that kind of thing, but you could find other ways to achieve it. If you may not be able to do it in 4 years, you could say, let's do it in 6 years if I have to finance it myself, for example. So it still could be achievable, but part of the measurable part, part of the specific part might have to be, give yourself a little grace on some of these goals that you might set so that you don't get depressed, you don't get deflated. You say, hey, if this isn't working for me, but this is still really, important to me, what can I do to pivot to make it work? All right, so achievable. Do you have the resources, temperament, skills, commitment, and what can you think about being a little bit flexible in achieving that? And then is it realistic and relevant? Again, within your timeline, within the resources available to you, realistic, remember, I might want to be a runner, maybe I wouldn't be an Olympian. So the relevant and realistic is, it's not realistic maybe that I, as someone else, it could be very realistic to be an Olympian, but maybe for me it's not realistic to be an Olympian. But it could be that I still have a goal of running and I still could achieve that. So just make sure it's realistic and relevant to you and to your broader objectives. Because your broader objective in my story about running might be, I would just want to be in good shape. I love the feeling you get when you run. And that could be very relevant and realistic. And then, is it timely? Can we have a start date and a finish date? So back to my, example of college, maybe that's a 4-year timeline, but for others, it could be a 6-year timeline. I personally took 6 years. I quit school for about 9 months because I switched colleges, I switched degrees, and then I was paying for college myself. And, the only way I could afford it was like a semester at a time. So I would take two classes, three classes, two classes. I went year round for a number of years. And that way I could afford to pay for it kind of as I went, even with having to still take some student loans, or, I had student loans from my freshman year where I went full time to a private college and it was very expensive. So I did have student loans for that. But then, as I pursued a new field and went to a public university, it was much more affordable. So in that regard, I had a goal. My goal was to go to college, to finish college, and to have a degree that was going to, give me a career. And I had to pivot a little bit, but it worked and it was manageable. And I still did it within a reasonable time frame, not the 4 years, but I couldn't kick myself, kick myself down for taking longer. It actually ended up working out really well for me. So SMART goals, specific, measurable, achievable, realistic and relevant, and timely. So let's start with that. Write that down, make a note of that. And then we're going to talk a little bit about, how to start defining those. We are at our first break. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
WDIY has been broadcasting since 1995.
This is Mayor Ken Smith. Congratulations to WDIY for signing on the air.
We're with Commissioner Frank Donches of the Bethlehem Police Department.
We welcome Dr. John and the Blend today.
Bob Dereau composed, conducted, and played much of the Schoolhouse Rock music.
Three is a magic number.
Step into the antidote to violence is to speak up against it.
WDIY for 30 years.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY. Also available on the WDIY app. If you'd like to ask a question, the phone number is 610-758-8810. And you can talk live on air with me. Or if you're not comfortable talking live, just give your question to Cindy, who's standing by. 610-758-8810. So we're talking about this and that, little ways to save toward your goals. The number one priority here being understand what your goals are and using SMART goals to really define them and measure them and make sure they are achievable, realistic, relevant, and time-bound. So now let's talk about goals. I learned many, many years ago at a conference I had gone to, there was a speaker who said, you know, in financial planning, when a client comes in and you ask them, what are your goals? And they say, I'd like to retire by 65. Well, that could be a goal. But what else is around that? How do we get there? I like to kind of step back and go back to the beginning. And in fact, if young people are listening, it's really so important to start early. I'm going to talk about compounding in a minute and just setting up good habits, because I will promise you at age 30, you don't realize that at age 60, you're going to want to retire, or age 55, you're going to want to retire. And if you think about starting to save at 55 or 60 for your retirement, you are, you know, going to be probably working longer than you think. So the sooner you start thinking about this, the better. And I like people to just have options. And if, unfortunately, I mean, it's true, you have to think about money every day. And it is with assets that you are given the freedom to have options that other people may not have. So the better you are at saving and probably even investing and kind of understanding the little this and that that I'm going to be talking about, the more options you are going to have available to you when you're going to make those decisions about when to retire or to meet some of these other goals that you might have. So instead of saying, you know, what is your goal? Oh, I want to retire at 65. Let's talk about some more detailed goals that will help build the blocks to get you there. Because if you're, for example, 30 or 35 right now, you got a longer runway. But what you do today is going to impact those decisions 30 years from now. So one thing that you could always start with is perhaps a goal might be to establish an emergency reserve. An emergency reserve is cash in the bank to manage those unexpected costs that you may have not anticipated, such that you can avoid putting large purchases or emergency spending on a credit card, where a credit card could cost you 25% interest, 29% interest. That's why we have an emergency reserve. And, you know, when I was early in the business, we used to say 3 to 6 months reserve. Now I really like 6 months to a year reserve. And typically when we talk about a reserve, it's really those non-discretionary expenses. You need to pay for your rent or your mortgage. You need to pay for food. You might have a car payment. Whatever non-discretionary expenses you have to make sure that you can carry on and live your life, not the Legos or the Starbucks coffee or, you know, those expensive items, the non-discretionary spending. What is that? And can you have 6 month reserve built up? So if you don't already have that, that could be a really nice goal that could be specific. You could look at your cash flow and you could say, hey, I think I can save $100 a month or $100 a week, whatever it might be, and kind of be aware of it. And then that's specific and it could be measurable and it's certainly achievable and realistic, relevant, and timely. You could say, I want to do that in a year. I want to do that in 6 months. Give yourself a little grace on that as well. And if you think, gosh, Lori, I don't have any money left at the end of the month, I'm spending all my money, well, then you're going to have to look at your spending and your cash flow. So I'll come back to that in a little bit. We're going to look at cash flow in a minute to help you meet your goal of the six-month reserve in a time-bound manner, in a timely manner. You might also have as a goal, for example, I want to contribute to my retirement accounts. Maybe you started a job and you didn't think you could afford it, or you didn't think about it, you missed it, you forgot to do it, and you could be missing out on saving for that retirement that you're going to want sooner than you think. And your goal might be to save 10% into your retirement account at work. Can you do it? Can you do it for cash flow? So maybe you already have your 6 month reserve and you just realized you weren't doing it and you were building up some extra cash in your bank account, but now you have enough in your 6 month reserve. You've built that up. You feel good about that. Now you don't need to put any more in your 6 month cash reserve. Now you want that money to work for you. And it could be behoove you to put it into a retirement account where you would have it invested, where you may be able to get a match from your employer. And I'm going to talk about that in a little bit, too. So that could be a specific goal, 10%. And I'm making up 10%. It could be 5%. You could start with 5% and then tell yourself you're going to increase it every year. Yeah, 1% or whenever you get a raise, put it right into your retirement account. So contributions to retirement account could be one of those SMART goals. Funding a Roth IRA. You might be putting money into a retirement account already, and you still might have some excess cash flow. You may be eligible to put money into a Roth IRA. A Roth IRA, you don't get a tax deduction for it, but when it's invested, it's growing income tax-free. You can always get out your original contributions. I love Roth IRAs. And if you're within the income limits, you could be able to do it. It's $7,000 for 2025. If you're over age 50, you could do another $1,000 to get $8,000. There are income limits for that and for single and married filing joint. Let me see if I can look this up quickly for you. The Roth limits for married filing joint, you can do under $236,000. There's a phase out to $246,000. If you make over $246,000, then you technically can't do the individual Roth. I'll talk more about that in a little bit. If you're single, it's $150,000 to $165,000 is the phase out. So anything under $150,000, you can do the Roth. If you're over $165,000, you're also not eligible unless you do something called the backdoor Roth. And married filing separate, you know, the worst filing status for many reasons, tax-wise, is $0 to $10,000. There's a phase-out, $0 to $10,000. So you you want to be aware of that. So that could be a goal, funding a Roth IRA, particularly, again, if you already have your emergency reserve, maybe you're already putting money in the retirement account and getting the match from the employer, and now you have some extra money. What could be a goal for that? And it could be the Roth IRA. That's going to help you, again, meet that long-term goal if that goal was, for example, to retire at X age or to retire earlier and have the option to retire earlier. When we come back from this next break, I'm going to then talk about other goals that you have that certainly impact that long-term goal, if it is to retire a long-term goal. What other kinds of goals do you have along the way that could impact the timeline on other goals? If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
WDIY presents Lehigh Valley Hollywood Squares, a live game show experience like no other. Join your favorite local celebrities for a night of laughs, trivia, and high-energy fun, all to support the station you love. Tickets are on sale now. Don't miss this nostalgic interactive event that's perfect for all ages. Mark your calendar for October 28, 6 p.m. at the State Theater in Easton and help keep public radio strong. For details and tickets, visit WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air with me, or if you're not comfortable talking live, you can just give your question to Cindy and she'll write it down and bring it in. We're talking about this and that, little ways to save toward your goals. Let's talk about some of the big ticket items that, as I said, when we say, what are your goals? And someone says retire at 65, they forget about all the other goals they may have that could be big ticket items that impact that timeline, perhaps, for retiring. And that would be items such as travel, cars, education, home purchase. So you want to reflect on this. It's not really realistic to think that your only goal would be to save to retirement when you know that you have to buy cars. And if you have children, you hope to help educate them. Or if you're young and you're in your late 20s and someday you'd like to buy a house, you need to start saving for that as well. And you want to know the how much, what kind, and what are my options. And what do I mean by what are my options? When we talk about travel, if you have travel goals, and the travel goal might be to travel to Europe, maybe you've never done that, and you want to go, you know, business class and stay in a nice hotel, and you're anticipating the trip's going to cost, you know, $15,000, then you, of course, would want to start to save for that. But if someone says, more realistically, they might say, well, I want to travel. I want to travel when I retire, or I want to travel, you know, once the kids are out of the house. That's not defined enough. That's not, you know, detailed enough. Again, go back to the SMART goals: specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time bound. Specific being, okay, that European trip I'm going to do in the year 2030, and I'm going to start my little travel fund now. You could do something like that. That could work. The other thing you have to keep in mind is if you love to travel and you want to travel in high style, that's okay. But then maybe don't travel every single year. Don't do a big trip every year. Do a big trip maybe once every 3 years or every 4 years. So when I talked about that A letter, the achievable and attainable, I also wanted you to pay attention to what are your options, how much flexibility do you have in that, because it could be achievable, it just might have a different look to it than what you might have originally thought. Cars is another one. Do you want a Porsche someday? That's your goal. Well, you know, maybe you could rent one for an afternoon. or you could buy a used one, you could have it as a bucket item, you know, you just kind of have to be really aware and then say, is it really relevant or realistic? Do you really, really need it? And if it really is your dream, then you will find a way to make that goal happen. You just have to, perhaps it might be on a longer timeline, or it might be not a brand new Porsche. It might be a used Porsche. So you know, I only buy used cars. I don't remember in my whole life how many new cars my husband and I had. I think we've had maybe three brand new cars, and we've been together, you know, like what, 45, 46 years. So, and I think we've only had three new cars. Almost all of our other cars have been used cars. Because we always thought, geez, you know, as soon as you drive it off the lot, it depreciates. And it's just worked well for us. It's worked out well. So you could still get that nice car. I have a nice car, but it's a 2012. And I love it, and I want it to keep going. So when I talk about goals, if that's my goal to have that car, how do I achieve it? And then I achieve it, you know, by making sure I have money to pay for the car. And then I take care of the car. I take really good care of the car to make sure it lasts a long time. And knowing that that car is that old now, for several years now, people, for several years now, I have had enough money to buy another car. I just haven't had to, and I've really been excited about that, and I just would like it to last as long as possible. So what is the goal? Education. Education, if you want to help fund your children's education, if or your own education, then you would want to make sure you're doing it in the smartest ways. And there might be ways for, you know, funding 529 accounts, et cetera. I have a caller. We have Anthony from Easton on air. Hi, Anthony. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hi. How can I help you?
I just had a question around taxes for my grandmother. I'm her power of attorney now, but she has not done taxes in 2 years.
Okay.
And I wanted to know, I usually do my own taxes, but this seems over my head at this point, and wanted to know what should be my next step.
Okay. Great question, Anthony. And perhaps, you know, and don't disclose anything particular for your grandmother, but what I would first say is perhaps your grandmother may not be required to file a tax return. So, for example, my mother has Social Security, and that's what she lives on, and she does not have to file a federal tax return because there is no income tax. If, you know, Social Security gets included in taxable income depending on how much other income you have on your return. And for my mother, it's not taxable. So she does not, she's not required to file a federal return. Now, she's in Michigan. I do file a Michigan return for her because she is eligible for a, it's called a homestead property tax credit. So there could be states where individuals live where they may get some like home heating credit, or a Pennsylvania has a tax rebate for real estate taxes for people. It's called a PA 1000 for people who might have lower income and have, you know, real estate taxes or even rent. They could get the rent rebate or the tax rebate. And in fact, Pennsylvania even raised the income limit. So you may have a situation where grandma might not be required to file a federal return, but there may be a reason you'd want to file a state return if she's a renter or if she is a homeowner and has real estate taxes. Even if, let's pretend she has more than Social Security, let's pretend she had, you know, $1,000 of interest income, her Social Security still might not be taxable. But let's say, oh, she has a $20,000 IRA distribution. Well, now you'd have to run it probably through the same software you use, Anthony. If you self-prepare and you use software, chances are that software you use, you may be able to put in a second return for somebody else. Because I used to use store-bought software, and I used to do like several tax returns for my, you know, siblings. So you could kind of put in the numbers for grandma to see if it looks like she's subject to tax. Because even if her income might require her to file a tax return, even if the income requires her to do it, because if it's just Social Security, there might not be any requirement. But if she has, like I said, like an IRA or interest income or something, if you're required to file it for federal purposes because of the amount of income on the return, she still might not be subject to tax after the standard deduction. And in 2025, in fact, there's an extra deduction for seniors of $6,000. So she might not have a tax. Let's pretend, Anthony, if you're still with me, let's pretend that you do put the income on the tax return and grandma's tax is $700 and grandma had an IRA and they withheld $1,000. Even though she hasn't filed for 2 years, if the tax was $700 and she had withheld $1,000, she has overpaid and she would be entitled to a refund. There is no penalty for that then. There's no penalty for late filing if you don't owe any tax. So either if you don't owe tax because there is no tax on the amount of income she has, or because she covered the taxes through withholdings, withholdings from Social Security or withholdings from a pension or Social Security or withholdings from, what was the other thing, IRA. So she might have the taxes covered, which might be why if she hasn't received a notice from the IRS, either she doesn't owe tax or she already covered it. Because if she owed, she probably would be getting notices already from the IRS. Because a lot of our income that we earn is reportable to the IRS. So Social Security reports it. Custodians for IRAs report it. Pensions report that income to the IRS. So I would probably, you know, get out her paperwork and see what kind of income she had. If you can't find it, Anthony, if you can't find any of her papers, you should be able to go online at some point and get a transcript from the IRS of the income that was reported for grandma. And then you could recreate the tax return. Okay. Does that help?
Yep. Okay. That does help a ton.
Okay. Good luck.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Have a good night. Folks, we're at the halfway point. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
That was a great question by Anthony, and I'm so glad he actually called in. This is why I love, you know, doing the show. And I love when listeners call in with questions because I think we can all learn something from it. And when I talk about this and that little ways to help you meet your goals, this actually could be one of those other little ways. So for example, I was telling Anthony, maybe his grandmother wasn't required to file for a federal return, but there could be an opportunity perhaps for her to get maybe a rent rebate or a real estate tax rebate for Pennsylvania by filing a PA 1000. So the little this and that might be that little this and that of free money that might be out there. And I have part of that as my topic, and if I hopefully can get to it, talking about ways to reach your goals, this and that could be include some free money. And what do I mean by that? So I'll talk about that in a minute. So setting the goals, the SMART goals, and then understanding what those goals are and asking yourself questions about them and how much leeway do you have in those goals and are they realistic, et cetera. And I like people to dream big too, by the way. So I don't want to squash anyone's dreams. If you have big goals, you know, go for them. Give yourself a little grace, as I say. Let's talk about cash flow, because one of the fastest ways to reach your goals, and again, I hate to say it, but we do have to be financially aware, financially sound, because so many of our goals are, driven and met by our good financial stewardship. So let's talk about cash flow for a minute. And I had told you about having that 6-month reserve. And I said that 6-month reserve should mirror what I would call the non-discretionary spending. You need to understand the difference between discretionary spending and non-discretionary spending. I mean, some people will say, I just have to have my coffee. Well, you don't have to have it at $4 a cup. Or I don't even know what it costs anymore. You just don't have to. You can do it at home. And so think about discretionary, non-discretionary. What else would be discretionary that we think might, that really should be, you know, could considered? As I said, discretionary could be what kind of car I buy. Discretionary meaning new or used, fancy or practical. Discretionary could be running your air conditioning at 68 versus 72, whereas non-discretionary is, you know, heat in the house in the winter. That would be non-discretionary. Non-discretionary might be health insurance. Non-discretionary would be the rent or your mortgage payment or your car payment. You don't want to default on your car payment if you need your car to drive to work. So understanding the difference between discretionary and non-discretionary. And I will say something for the people who are really listening here. I'm going to tell you something that I've seen over and over again, and I've said it many times before. People who know how much money they spend are the people with money. I work with some very high net worth clients. They know how much money they spend. They really do. It's the reason they have money. It's kind of like when you hear those stories about, athletes that people say, oh, they just have the talent, and you don't see the thousands of hours that they've spent shooting basketballs or throwing the football. You don't see the thousand of hours of people, practicing singing or whatever it might be, those people who are really at the top of their game. You don't see all the hard work. Well, that's what I see too with, some people who have been very good at saving and building up their portfolio or building up their savings. It's because they've quite often, there are exceptions, don't start calling telling me, my buddy inherited. That can happen too, but that it's because they inherited probably from a parent who was watching what they spent and knew how much they were spending. So if you kind of know how much you spend, those are the people who I said I often see who have had money. It could be just a habit. Some people get stressed out thinking about it. They don't want to think about it. Well, it's also stressful at 65 when you do not have enough money to retire and you're exhausted and want to. You want to know stress? That's stress. So when you're 30 and you're stressed out because you need that expensive coffee, I want you to remember, know how much you spend and think about, can you still have a coffee? Yes, you can still have a coffee. Can you make it at home? Yes, and it could be much cheaper. Now, I'm not saying everybody has to be frugal either. I'm all about living your life. I just, think about how you're doing it. I give an example of going to Broadway. Love Broadway, love the plays. I've probably been to just a handful in my life, and I'm, a little older. But when I go, I'm in like the front row. I'm in row 4. I don't go all the time, but when I go, I'm going to make it really nice so that I understand the experience. I have that experience. It's just wonderful. I'm just not doing it all the time, okay? I worked with a girl once many, many years ago who went like 50 times. She went all the time. Okay, she did standing room only. That's how she would get her tickets. She would get discount tickets. So she found a way to do it more frequently, but she was okay in standing all the way in the back. I prefer to do it once a decade and, get a really good seat. So understand discretionary and non-discretionary, and I'm not telling you not to have discretionary spending. I'm just saying be smarter about it. Let's talk about ways to set it and forget it. Again, this has been proven over and over. I don't have the stats, but I know it's been proven over and over. Automatic savings into your bank account to build up that emergency reserve. Automatic savings into your 401k to build up your retirement account. But what else could you get from that? You might get an employer match. So that's a set it and forget it where you're saving for yourself and you may get a match. That's going to come in when I talk about the free money. Roth IRA, set it and forget it. You could do it monthly. You could do a monthly contribution. I'm going to talk about compounding in a little bit. Health savings account, set it and forget it. You could do all of these through payroll deduction. You can ask your employer to put the money into your savings account with direct deposit. You can ask your employer to put it into a 401k or a designated Roth or into a health savings account. If you do the pre-tax on the 401k, pre-tax on the health savings accounts, that has multiple benefits in tax savings. Another thing, live beneath your means. If you can afford a $400,000 house, that's great. The realtor is going to tell you, oh yeah, you can afford a $400,000 house. The mortgage people are going to tell you, you can afford a $400,000 house. Well, if you can afford a $400,000 house, you can also afford a $350,000 house. And over time, that will save you money. You're going to pay, if you had to take a loan, it's going to be less interest for you. And you're going to have more cash flow because you're going to have a smaller payment. And you might have more room to, put into your retirement account or whatever it might be. So spend beneath your means. Back to the new car, used car. Watch out for that. Know how your income is taxed. These are the little ways, the this and that to reach your retirement goals. You would be surprised about how many people do not understand income tax and how income is taxed. there is ordinary income that gets taxed at ordinary income tax rates, and then there's capital gains tax rates, which apply to qualified dividends and long-term capital gains. And then there is, the most beneficial rate, which is zero. And that 0% tax rate can apply to capital, long-term capital gains or qualified dividends if you're in a 12% bracket or lower. It can 0% tax on qualified distributions from Roth IRAs. And you can even have zero tax on Social Security, as we talked about earlier with Anthony and my mom as an example. If your income is below a certain threshold, some of your Social Security may not be taxable already. We've known that. It wasn't that anyone had to pass legislation to make Social Security tax-free. It's already tax-free for a lot of people. It all depends on how much other income you have. Now, if you're a high-income earner, you have, you know, a lot of dividends and interest, and one of your spouses is still working and you're collecting Social Security, chances are 85% of your Social Security could be taxed, but it's graduated. There's a little formula, a worksheet we have to do to see how much Social Security ends up getting taxed. I'll tell people, I can't beat a 0% tax rate. So there are times when it might look like you're in a low tax bracket where I would not put more income on your return because I don't want more Social Security taxed, all right? It's a circular calculation. So know how your income is taxed, because if you are someone who has these lofty retirement goals and you're afraid to lose money and you don't want to invest it and you have, you know, $400,000 in the bank and it's earning 4%, you're getting $16,000 of interest income. That's all taxed at ordinary income tax rates, and let's pretend you're in a 22% tax bracket. That would be taxed at 22%. If you're in a 24% tax bracket, marginal tax bracket, it would be 24% and on up. But if you had qualified dividends coming from equities, that would be 15%. Now, that 15% sometimes can be, if you're in the top bracket, it could be 20%. But for the most part, I would say the qualified dividends that we see for most people and the long-term capital gains for most people are going to get taxed at 15% or lower. 15% or lower. For example, as I said, if you're in a 12% bracket or lower, it's at zero on those gains. So know how your income is taxed. Annuities get taxed at ordinary income tax rates. Pensions, salary, interest, Social Security, if it's taxable, IRA distributions, all taxed at ordinary income tax rates. Roth IRAs, zero if it's a qualified distribution. So know your income tax. That's a this and that to kind of understanding little ways to maximize perhaps cash flow. All right. Free money, employer match. You can get free money from an employer match. It's hard to beat that. So if you have not been putting money into an employer 401k and you find out your employer does match, I would sincerely suggest that you look to see if your cash flow would accommodate you putting money into your retirement account, at least to get the match. If you do it on a pre-tax basis, you're saving the income tax today, but you will pay income tax on that distribution in the future. So if you are someone who is in a low tax bracket today, you might want to do it on an after-tax basis if your employer offers a Roth option. So you're not going to get a tax deduction today, but it could be growing income tax-free, and that could be an option for you too. So you want to review that with your either HR or your investment advisor or whomever to kind of look and see what makes sense for you. So free money, employer match, rewards programs. So I'm going to talk about that in a minute. And then, of course, what I'm going to call almost free money. And then I want to give an example of the power of compounding so you can kind of understand why starting early makes sense and, you know, how much flexibility you have in your investment allocation to kind of help pump up those returns if it's feasible and advisable and doable for you. Folks, we are at the last break. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
WDIY 88.1 offers many choices and real voices. Folk music, from folk classics to the Gaelic traditions of the British Isles, to bluegrass and old-time music of Appalachia, to the modern-day singer-songwriters telling the story of today's world. You'll find it all here on WDIY. Listen and enjoy the wide variety of folk music every weekday evening, 7 to 9 p.m., just after NPR News headlines, and Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. on 88.1 WDIY and streaming at WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY 88.1. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. You can also send questions through yourfinancialchoices.com. So we're kind of wrapping up for this segment of the show called This and That, Little Ways to... Little ways to save towards your goals. And I was talking about free money before the last break, employer match, rewards programs. Let me talk about that for a minute. So there are rewards programs. You just want to make sure that you're not like spending the top dollar to get a dollar in rewards. But there are certain rewards programs. If you're going to use a credit card anyway, perhaps you'll find a credit card that gives back rewards and points that you can use toward paying toward your credit card balance, or points toward, you know, maybe other purchases, whatever it might be. Could be airline tickets, airline points. If any of you remember You Promise, I haven't even heard You Promise used that often, but a client did mention it the other day, and I forgot because it's been so long since my kids were little, because we had used the You Promise program. That was a way to save for college for kids. And you link like a credit card to the You Promise and you get build up these points, which then you can transfer to a 529 education account. That's free money. That's coming back from, you know, particular stores or gas stations or restaurants that may, you know, want to encourage you using their facility or whatever, and then you get back these points and You Promise and you can save for education. So that is like a reward program. So those are the kind of things you might want to check out as an example. So free money, almost free money. Let me tell you what almost free money is. And that would be using leverage for loans. And I'll talk about that in just a minute. But right now I have a call from Alan in Easton. Hello, this is Lori.
Hi, Lori.
Hi, how are you?
I'm always well.
Good, very good.
I have a this and that question. I have a CD, mm-hmm. 9-month CD, which is maturing next week.
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly would like to earn some more money on that. But my question is really, how can I, I'd rather keep this local.
Mm-hmm.
How can I efficiently canvas the offerings that may offer me a good rate for my CD to roll it into another
CD somewhere else?
Another, right. I won't know the interest rate on this particular bank until next week when it actually matures.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Alan, this is a great question, because let me give you a little like caution that I've seen. I've seen where people have really decent rates on CDs, and then they get the notice that their CD is maturing, and it's kind of obscure. They might not really see it. They don't really know that it's maturing. And then the notice will say it's going to mature at the, you know, at the applicable rate. And what you don't know, because you kind of forgot about it because you didn't really know and they didn't really give you details, it matures at 0.15.
That's what I'm concerned about.
Yeah, and then you miss your window to roll it into something else. If you have a computer, you can. There is a website, and I don't think I'm disclosing anything that wouldn't be readily available, but bankrate.com. bankrate.com talks about different CD rates that might be out there. And, you know, there may even be, you probably could even just Google Lehigh Valley CD rates if you wanted to do that. And, you know, maybe you could find something that, that could fit your needs. There are also, the issue with CDs is you do get locked in for a period of time. And if you're, if some people are comfortable with online banking, what I have seen is many online banks, because they're not paying for bricks and mortar like your traditional bank, you may be able to set up an online savings account with some well-known banks. I'm not going to say names on the air, but you could just do online savings, you know, bank accounts. You would recognize some of the names. If you're comfortable with that, you might be able to get as good of a rate through an online savings bank rather than the CD, and then you're not locked in. And what you can do is link it to your local bank account and move the money back and forth if you're comfortable doing things on a computer. I personally
looked at that, Laurie, I looked at that bankrate.com. And, as I said, I'm in person. I'd like to keep it local. I'd like to walk into a place and do something. And most of the offerings on that were the big banks, and you know, who the heck knows where they are or whatever.
Right.
I assume that's proper, but you know. I really am one to support local and then whatever.
Yeah,
that makes a difference or not.
Yeah, what I might do then is, you know the names of some of our local banks. You could always call, or just, again, if you use a computer, Google online and say, you know, ABC Lehigh Valley Local Bank CD rates. And sometimes they have, you know, teaser rates. So you can get that and watch for that. But, you know, sometimes they'll even do, you know, a high-yield savings account in a local bank, too. And it might, again, be a teaser rate. I've had clients who go with these teaser rates, and then they forget, and a year passes, and their rate dropped from that teaser rate down to the 0.15 or whatever it might have been.
And that's exactly what I have, a teaser rate. It's actually a very good one, and I have it written down three places so I wouldn't forget, and then the bank sent me a letter. So
yeah.
I'm well aware that it, I think I have 10 days from that. Sure date.
Well, if you got it at the bank where you are now, there could be another bank, you know, next door that would do the same thing. So, right. I'm not aware of anything other than just searching online then for a comparable to like the bankrate.com for a local. Local rates, you know, I think they used to post them in the newspaper, but, you know, I don't know if people get the paper anymore.
I do, and actually I have a bank I never heard of, a local bank that advertised in the paper, so that's the only rate that I see. But
okay,
all right, well, I'll continue to look local, and I'll search bank to bank and whatever. But
okay, well, good
I
luck.
I appreciate it. Thanks for your assistance again.
Okay,
good talking with you.
Okay, thank you, Alan. Have a good night.
All right.
Bye.
All right.
Yeah, it's tough when people are trying to trace those rates. I used to have a client who would like physically go around to all the banks and ask those questions. But and staying local is really admirable. That's nice. I'm one of those people as well for a lot of the business that we like to give. My parents were self-employed, had a hardware store, so I always feel a kinship to small businesses. But it seemed like every time I would patronize those small businesses, they went out of business. So I decided I wasn't helping them. I felt like I was hurting them. So, but that's wonderful, Alan, to go ahead and try to do that. So the almost free money, let me talk about leverage for a minute. I try to remind people, like they'll say, I want to pay down my mortgage. I want to pay down my mortgage. I don't want that debt. And when they have other funds available, other money available, I always say to them, it's not debt, it's leverage. So what I'm going to call almost free money is when you have a mortgage that you're paying 2.85% on, and if you invested that money, you could get, you know, like, you know, 4%, 5%, 6%, 8%, 10%, depending on how you're invested, how, what risk tolerance you have. That's leverage. You're borrowing at a low rate to hopefully make more money you know, on investing. So that's almost what I'm going to call almost free money. Refinancing is a great idea. Here's the caution here. I was just talking about this with James and Cindy before the show. You got to be careful on refinancing. Everyone's going to be asking you to refinance right now because rates are going down and they're going to try to be ahead of it. And they're going to get you to lock into, you know, what might look like a lower rate today. But if by the end of the year we have two rate cuts, I could see, you know, mortgage rates could be coming down again. So maybe don't lock in yet because there's always cost to refinancing. And the fear and the trouble I have with refinancing is if people refi those costs to refinance, now you're making your mortgage bigger than it was. And if you go with a lower payment, now you still a 30-year term, now you could end up actually paying more interest over the life of that loan than you would have had you stayed with that higher rate. Now, that might not make sense. So what could you do? What you could do is you could say, okay, if I was paying $1,500 a month for my mortgage and the new rate is a little lower and now I'm only going to be paying $1,350 and I'm going to go from a 27-year to a 30-year, why don't you say instead, why don't I stay with that higher monthly payment? What did I say? I just lost track of it. $1,500. And maybe go with a 25-year loan or a 20-year loan, whatever it might be. Don't extend the length of the loan and keep the same payment if you can afford that same payment. Now, some people might have been in a cash pinch and really would benefit from a lower monthly amount. But over time, if you my husband and I refied at one point. We don't have a mortgage now, but at one point we refied and we went to a 20-year and we kept our payment the same and we finished our mortgage, you know, much sooner than we thought we would. So it worked out really well. So just kind of keep in mind, free money, almost free money, as I said, could be almost free money using leverage or almost free money. Keep that lower interest rate mortgage. Take advantage of that. Maybe don't refi to a higher rate, or if you're going to refi to a lower rate, keep your payment the same and or make the term of the mortgage shorter, and in the end, you're going to save more money. Don't lengthen it because that could actually end up costing you more money. Almost free money could be gifts. It is free money, but using the gifts, if you are to receive a gift, use those gifts towards maybe some of those goals. And just say to yourself, a gift doesn't mean now I get to go splurge on something. A gift is a deposit on that goal I have, a deposit on that future goal. Perhaps some, you know, mom and dad or grandma and grandpa give you $1,000. Well, if one of your goals would be to fund the Roth IRA for $7,000 because you're eligible, now you just got $1,000 for that. And that's an incentive. Maybe you didn't have the money to fund it, any of it. Well, you could put the $1,000 in the Roth, so you can put it toward that. Let me talk about the power of compounding and why this makes sense to start early. I'm going to give you an example of that $7,000 Roth I've mentioned. So you could fund a Roth IRA. Let's just say to reach your goal, you could do it at $583 a month. You know, you don't have $7,000 today, but you do have $583 a month. You could put $583 a month into the Roth if you qualify. That's $7,000 a year, and that's the only number I used. I kept it the same for 20 years. I never increased it. At 10% rate of return, which is the average rate of return of the S&P, and the reason I'm saying that is because if I'm going to invest aggressively in a Roth IRA because it's growing tax-free, I'm hoping to get that kind of return, no guarantees. That in 20 years with a $140,000 investment turns into $446,000. So you didn't have to work very hard for that. You let the power of compounding help you reach that goal. That's a this and that. Let's pretend you only invested it at 4%. You're a conservative investor. That would grow, instead of to $446,000, it grows to $214,000. This is why it's very important to also understand the power of compounding and taking on a little risk and the rate of return and how that can also help you meet your goals. So I hope tonight helped with a little bit of this and that. Obviously, there's lots more probably tips and ideas, but hopefully this spurred some, urge to set up some SMART goals and help you reach your goals. And hopefully it was helpful. And I really appreciate the calls tonight, too. They were great questions. Thank you, Anthony and Alan. Thank you, Cindy, for being here. Thank you, James, for being here. Next week, I'm going to revisit the elements of your financial life and why it's important to understand how they work together. Remember, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices and have a great week.